May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We talked about those scriptures last week, and so I'm going to do something a little bit different since we've done that. This is from Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. So pay really close attention to the language and the wording that he uses. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and fill you with all peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a really pregnant verse. It's full of a lot of stuff. In the end, he says that he prays, he says, may you be filled with all joy and all hope. And the result of that will be that you'll be abound in hope, with all joy and all peace, and you'll abound in hope. And all that's because of the power or the ability of the Holy Spirit. So that God will do something in your life, and that what he'll do will fill you by the Holy Spirit's ability with all joy and all peace, so that you'll abound in hope. One of the things that Scripture talks about is that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so I know that it's impossible for me to live a life of consistent faith if I'm not living in an abiding atmosphere of hope. Because hope is the soil from which faith springs up. Hope is kind of this attitude that lives with confident anticipation of what God can do, even though I don't know what he might do yet. But I know that whatever I'm going to face, God's going to be involved. It's going to be his situation. He's got it. And so that's hope. I have confident anticipation that whatever comes, God's got it. He's big enough for it. Now, faith is when the it shows up, and I'm having to believe for that specific temptation or in that specific circumstance. But faith happens as a result of you're living in the soil of hope. If not, then you're fighting real hard to scramble into a place of faith instead of faith just springing up out of the soil of hope. And what I've found and what the scripture makes clear is that when I'm filled with joy and peace, hope just kind of happens. And then faith is easy. When my disposition and my inner man is full of joy and peace, living in an atmosphere of hope is easy. It just happens. I abound in it. But if I don't know joy and peace, then I kind of am cynical. I'm not real sure. I live in fear. I live in anything but hope. Sort of woe is me. You ever been that way? Or been around somebody that's always the woe is me? They always give the bad report. It's always sort of a negative thing. And then the thing I love about that scripture, it says, it identifies something about God's character. Because we know that God says that God is love. That's just true. But it says something about him, is that he's a God of hope. If I say, Bracken's just a man of peace. What I'm identifying, that's just a characteristic. Bracken just sort of brings peace. He's not conflict oriented. He's a man of peace. Or Bill's a man of character. Then you can just expect that character is just one of the things that identifies the way he behaves, how he is, his disposition, his peace, character. When you say God's a God of hope, that means that that's his disposition. That's what he does. He's not cynical. He's not angry. He's not frustrated. He's not anxious. He's not fearful. He's not, he's a God of hope, not a God of condemnation. And one of the things I've discovered is that when I'm talking to Christians and, on a House of Bishops level, on a Patriarchs Council level, or in any level, and if there's an atmosphere and it's not filled with hope, it's filled with facts, but there's no atmosphere of hope, then you're not going to ever move in faith. And it's not, God's not in it, because God's a God of hope. God's not scared. He's not fearful. He's not worried. He's not wringing his hands. He's optimistic. He's a God of hope. He has confident anticipation more than you do, because he knows who he is. I mean, if our hope is based on our confident anticipation, expectation that God's got it, well, the one who's got it knows he's got it, certainly walks in hope all the time. Even when Adam and Eve fell, God didn't become hopeless. As a matter of fact, he's so got it, he had a plan before they ever fell. And he says here, may the God of hope fill you, not just give you, but fill you with all joy, not just some joy, and all peace, that you'll abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the deal. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What releases the God of hope to fill me with all peace and all joy that ends up abounding in hope? Believing. That's so simple and yet so complicated, isn't it? Fighting a good fight of faith sometimes seems like the worst fight in the history of the world. But what we got to learn is we're not fighting for faith. If you're going to do that, you're going to stay exhausted. It's fighting from faith. Because we live by the faith of the Son of God. And tonight in our Bible study in Ephesians, when he talks about the power of God, he uses the same phrase, and it's in the present tense. The power of God into us who are believing. Not just who believe, not just who are saved, but who are believing. So faith releases joy and peace, which causes me to abound in hope, which gives birth to more faith. It's like this wonderful cycle. I can always tell when I'm not believing, because I don't have any joy and peace, and there's no hope. And the teacher, those of you've been around long enough, one of the persons that mentored me, that spoke in my life the most, used to speak Deuteronomy 132 from the King James Version over and over again. And as God set me free, and I was learning how to walk out of my mental illness and stewarding the life of Christ in me, learning practical things, this person would say over and over again, Chuck, the only problem you're ever going to have is Deuteronomy 132. And I would go, what is that, Ms. Yancey? And she would say, for in this thing you have not believed, Lord your God. She said, if you'll just keep it that simple, that's the only problem you'll ever have. For in this thing you've not believed, Lord your God. And I'm telling you, after all these 40 years, that's the truth. The just don't live by knowledge. The just don't live by control. The just live by faith. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.